Well, let me see how many of you gals were not with us last week, and this is your first day here. Anybody? Okay, good. Well, welcome. Welcome. If you missed us last week, welcome. Glad to have you here today. And for our Monday night, I told you I would address you. I'm trying to look at the cameras and include them as well, our Monday night women, and also our online audience. I know there are people watching online. Thank you. And I pray today that you're blessed. So let's pray and let's get into the word. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this time that we can come before you, God, and just worship you, God. You are worthy of our praise. We just thank you, God. You are so good, and we are so blessed, God, that you have come to give us life and that more abundantly, God. We thank you that there is more than this life here on earth, God, that we have heaven to look forward to for all eternity. Lord, I pray that these words would comfort us today. Anybody who's come who has brought a burden with them, who's heavy today, who is sorrowful or grieving or needs comfort, I pray in the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit would fall afresh in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you are new to us this week, I'm Michelle Randall, and I'll be your teacher for this year, and I'm blessed to be here with you. This book, 2 Corinthians, is perhaps Paul's most transparent letter that he ever wrote, speaking of his pain and the suffering that he went through, the sorrow that he encountered, and the difficulties, even to despair and depression. And we'll look at that today. So I am so grateful for this letter because it just shows us that Paul was a real person that had real problems and real struggles, just like you and I have. But today, we're going to look at the theme that runs through this entire book, the entire year, as I introduced to you last week, is comfort and encouragement. And which of us don't need both of those, right? We need comfort and we need encouragement. But I've entitled today's message, The Cost of Comfort. You know, comfort is the state of physical ease and freedom from pain and constraint. To comfort means to console, to ease a person's distress or grief. Many people are gifted communicators and even gifted with compassion and sensitivity to the Spirit of God. But there are some times in some situations where no physical human being can comfort us. And that's when we really rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Today we're going to spend some time looking at what Paul calls the comfort of consolation. Will you open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1? And we're going to begin today in verse 3. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now, you remember last week that I told you that I mark my Bible a lot, and so get your pens out or your pencils, because I'm gonna help you to mark your Bible this year. So, what I would like you to do first, I'd like you to, whatever you prefer, a box or a circle. I do both. A box stands out a little bit more to me. So, have you circle or box two words? One, all. I want you to circle or box the word all, but the first one is all comfort, and the second is all tribulation. So box or circle those words. The word all comfort in this passage is the Greek word paraklesis, and the idea behind this word in the New Testament is that it is more than a soothing sympathy. It has the idea of strength, of help, of making strong. And the idea behind the word communicated by the Latin word for comfort, which is fortis, it means, I love this, brave. It means brave. It means strength. These words for comfort or consolation are repeated 10 times in our text today. Let's circle them together because I like to mark my Bible. Here we go. I'm going to read the verses, and every time you see the word comfort or consolation, I want you to circle it or underline it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, there's one, who comforts to us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so are consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for our consolation and salvation, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake in the consolation. I love that the word for comfort is brave. Don't you love it? It does take some sense of bravery to allow yourself to be comforted. You're brave if you are willing to be comforted. You're not cowardly. You're not weak, but you're brave. Isn't that fabulous? I love it. So, where do we get this brave comfort from? You remember when Jesus was leaving this earth and he left his disciples in John 14, it says, just listen, he said, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, which he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." Jesus has left the Holy Spirit to help us, to comfort us, to teach us, and you got to love this one, to bring to remembrance Scripture. And those of us who are getting a little older, it's harder the older you get to retain that memory. So hide Scripture in your heart, amen? Hide Scripture in your heart while you're young, and then it will stay there. And don't you know how marvelous it is when you're in conversation and you couldn't pull a Scripture and quote it from memory and verse and chapter, but the Holy Spirit brings that to your memory and your remembrance, and you're able to quote that Scripture and share it with somebody. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad Jesus just didn't leave us alone, but he left the Holy Spirit. He alone, the Holy Spirit, is able to comfort us in all situations, at all times, in all things, not just on some occasions, sometimes, and in some things, but the Scripture is very clear here. We underlined it twice, the word all, and all means all the time. All the time. I've had many opportunities to be comforted by the Lord in my 27 years of walking with him, but there is one particular instance that stands out amongst the rest. And I told you last week that I was going to share with you a time in my own life that I went through a difficult time, a dark time, a lonely time, and yet the Holy Spirit was right there to comfort me. It's been 15 years now, and I feel like the Lord allowed me to live out verse 3 and 4, that I might be a testimony of his faithfulness in my life. I was pregnant with our third child. Our second son was just under 2. And I felt that something was wrong with the pregnancy from the beginning. It just didn't feel right. So I went to the doctor. I saw the heartbeat. I was reassured that everything was fine. And sometime after that, I began to experience pain and then the blood. And then I went into labor. And I was told to stay home and just let my body do what my body was going to do, which was get rid of the baby. But I remember being curled up in my bed, and all these things are going through your mind. I shouldn't have washed the kitchen floor. I shouldn't have vacuumed. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. And you're going through all this emotion and pain, and it's just, it's overwhelming. And so, of course, I began to blame myself, and then I was mad at my husband because he couldn't comfort me like I needed, and then people weren't being sensitive to me, and so it's just all this emotion. And I finally came to realize that this instance was an instance that I needed the Holy Spirit. And I haven't experienced this since, but I was in bed, in labor for an hour, and I remember Jesus wrapping his arms around me, and he just held me. It was in the fetal position, and I can't quite explain it to you other than I have never felt that present sense, and he became so real to me that I felt him tangibly around me, holding me through that miscarriage. And as I laid there in the arms of Jesus and then passed the baby, I thought, what a special time. How sweet it was that my Jesus knew what I needed. My husband couldn't comfort me. My family could not comfort me. My Jesus knew what I needed. And it was hard. I was emotional, and it was difficult. I'm not going into detail because it was difficult. Other than that, but a few weeks later, I learned that my neighbor was pregnant, and which was difficult for me, but 2 weeks later, she miscarried as well. Both our third babies. But I was able to go over to her house and cry with her and hold her like Jesus held me. And I can't tell you what happened, but there was an exchange somehow that happened from what I experienced with Jesus to what I was able to give her. And I was able to live this verse. I was able to comfort her with the comfort that I myself received from Jesus Christ. A month later, we were both pregnant again, and we both delivered. I had my third boy, and she had her first girl. God is good, isn't he? All the time, God is good. In our good times, in our difficult times, in our hard times, in our grieving, in our suffering, our pain, God remains good. He is good. This scripture has always meant a lot to me, and it always takes me back to that time when Jesus held me in my bed. I've never, as I said, have experienced that supernatural arms of Jesus around me like I did quite then, and I will forever cherish that time. I will cherish it because of what I learned, I will cherish because what I felt, and I will cherish it because how I was used. I know many of you are going through difficult times, and you understand what I'm speaking about. Some of you don't, and you haven't yet had an opportunity, but you will have an opportunity. Be encouraged that God, the God of all comfort, will comfort you and will allow you to comfort others. Today's message, as I said, I entitled The Cost of Comfort because there is a cost involved, not as much for us as for Jesus. For Jesus, it took death to comfort us. For if Jesus never died, he wouldn't have sent the Spirit, which comforts us. Comfort and encouragement go hand in hand. I will say that after I miscarried and then was able to be used by God, I found encouragement in my loss. To encourage means to give support, confidence, or hope to someone, to come along someone and help them. Warren Wiersbe said, "When you find yourself discouraged and ready to quit, get your attention off of yourself and onto God." It's what we talked about last week. Our focus, remember? If you weren't here, we talked about our focus being Jesus. And everything here is on the side. And it's there, but you're not focused on it. But once you look there at all of the other things, I completely lose my focus. Keep your focus on Jesus. Because it's when we lose our focus that we become overtaken by that which wants to take us down. The discouragement, the despair, the depression, the doubt, the fear, the pain. When you lose your focus, it takes you down and down and down, and it can take you deep. But we aren't alone, because many in Scripture suffered from discouragement and even depression. Jesus himself said in John 16:33, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Dr. John Henry Howitt was called the greatest preacher the English-speaking world has ever known. He said one day, "You seem to imagine that I have no ups and downs, but just a level of lofty stretch attainment with unbroken joy and equanimity. By no means. I am often perfectly wretched, and everything appears most murky." And Charles Spurgeon, the greatest preacher England ever produced, said, "I am the subject of depressions of spirit so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I often go." And Paul the Apostle, in our text today, he said, "I am burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that they despair even of my life," meaning that I am without hope. Even Paul the Apostle got to the place where he said, "I am without hope." Discouragement and depression can lead to a loss of hope. It's a very real thing that all Christians will experience. It's a battle, but we're in good company, because we read in the Psalms, don't we, of this battle, this depression, this despair that David spoke of again and again and again, and Jeremiah and Elijah and Moses and Abraham, and we can go on and just open the Scriptures and see depressed people that are in despair, but they keep going. They have hope. They focus on Jesus. Discouragement and depression are very real and experienced by everybody. The question that comes to mind is, what do you do with it when it comes? How do you handle it when it comes? Because it will come. I want to give you three suggestions today on how to deal with discouragement. The first I want you to remember is to choose praise over pity. Choose praise over pity. Paul learned that praise was a key in experiencing victory over discouragement and depression. Praise changes things just as much as prayer changes things. In fact, I think it would be better to say, praise changes me just as much as prayer changes me. It's a choice that you have to consciously make. You must choose praise over self-pity. You must choose to praise God in the midst of your circumstances and not allow yourself to wallow in self-pity, because that's exactly where the enemy wants you to stay, right there. He wants you to stay there. He does not want you to come out. We must focus our eyes and our attention upon Jesus and praise him in the midst of the storm. I'm not saying you need to thank him. I didn't thank God for a miscarriage. But I was able to get to the place where I praised him for being with me, for comforting me, for seeing me through, and for using me. That's what I mean. You know, it wasn't, though, until I was able to be used by God that the blinders were lifted. When I went to my neighbor and God actually used me to comfort her, that's when I saw it for what it was. That's when I was able to praise. Because I tell you what, before, I would go to church and I would cry the whole service. I just could not get beyond it. I'm sure hormones had a little to do with it, but I was just a mess. A mess. But when the Lord used me in my neighbor's life, then I understood. And it almost was like, okay, Lord, it's worth it. It's worth it to go through the pain that I might be used and I might grow and I might be comforted by you. You know, God doesn't pat us on the head and say, everything's going to be okay. No. He puts strength into our hearts by the Holy Spirit so that we can face our trials and triumph over them. Remember that our English word for comfort comes from the Latin word meaning with strength, to be brave. And the Greek word for comfort means to come alongside of, to help. The same word is used for the Holy Spirit in John 14 through 16. God can encourage us through his word, and he can encourage us through his spirit, but sometimes he uses other believers to do so, much like Barnabas was to Paul. Son of encouragement was his nickname. The Lord does that, doesn't he? Doesn't he, at such a timely manner in our life, bring people into our path that encourage us when we need it? It's a temptation, though, for us in our times of despair, depression, to hide, isn't it? Isn't that what we naturally do? Withdraw from fellowship, withdraw from prayer, withdraw from reading the word? That's natural. We have to fight that natural instinct to withdraw. There's nothing more that the enemy would love than to keep you away from the people that love you and want to help you bear your burden. We need each other. Paul talks about it many times in Scripture. Send me Titus. Send me Timothy. I mean, he needed his like-minded believers, didn't he? And we do too. Don't fall into the trap of self-pity. It is a downward spiral that takes you straight to the pit. Rather, look up and choose to praise God, to get in the word, to get in prayer, and not to forsake fellowship with other sisters that love you and want to help you and want to pray for you. That's the body of Christ. That's why we're here. The second key to overcoming discouragement, the first was choose to praise God. And the second is to recognize it's all part of his plan. He has allowed this in your life for a reason. Nothing is an accident with God. Nothing escapes God. Everything is filtered through God. It all goes down through God. It goes through him. The trials, the tests, the tribulations, all allowed in our life for a reason. The pain, the suffering, the loss, the sorrow, all allowed in our life for a reason. Do I understand why? No, not always. And we might not always understand. But we need to know that we know that we know that it all goes through the Father, and that He loves you so much that He's working everything, good, bad, and in between, for good in your life, that you may grow, that you may be molded into His image, and that He may use you in other people's lives as well. God not only permits trials, He controls them. Aren't you glad that He is in control of those? Paul said in verse 8, we are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Paul was weighed down with a load that was too heavy for him to carry, but God knew how much Paul could take, and He kept control of the situation. The shipwrecks, He was in control of that. The stonings, in control. The beatings, He was there. The viper, right there. He was in control. God keeps His eye on the thermostat, but He has His hand on the temperature control. He knows when it's too much, when we need a little bit more. He knows and He cares. God allows us to see how weak we are, that we might cry out to Him to be our strength. God wants us to trust Him, not in our gifts, not in our abilities, not in our past experiences that we've had. He wants us to trust Him. Therefore, He allows us to become weak that He might make us strong. He wants our flesh to die that He might live through us, because it's when we die to self that the resurrection power of Jesus can then go to work. Remember that it was when Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead physically that God's resurrection power enabled them to have the promised child, Isaac. However, dying to self does not mean that you become complacent and you do nothing and you expect God to do everything. We are to do our part, right? We are to be searching the scriptures. We are to be praying and praising God and remaining in fellowship and serving God. I appreciate that Paul didn't deny the way he felt, that he said it just as it was. I'm without hope. I am hanging on by a thread. Have you ever felt like that? I know I have. Lord, I am barely hanging on, but I'm hanging on. Paul was delivered from danger so many times, and yet God chose to deliver Paul, and He chose to deliver Peter, but sometimes He chooses not to deliver. He didn't deliver James. He didn't deliver John the Baptist. They both were beheaded. But they were delivered in a different way, because the way we think of deliverance is delivering from or out of our trial. Sometimes He delivers you from your trial. He takes you out of them, and He takes you home. In and from. This should encourage us today, because sometimes, as I said, God delivers us from our trials, and other times He delivers us in our trials. But nonetheless, He delivers us. If we choose to praise God and abide in His perfect plan of God, then we will get to our third reason that we can be encouraged today and not be discouraged, is that it is the preparation of God. So we praise God, we choose to praise Him, we know it's the plan of God, and third we see it's the preparation of God. In times of suffering and discouragement, most of us are prone to think only of ourselves and we forget about others, don't we? We become cisterns instead of channels. We forget that the trials have a purpose in our life. One of the reasons that trials have a purpose in our life is that we might learn to be channels of blessing instead of cisterns and sitting. That we might learn how to comfort and encourage others. Because the Lord has encouraged us, we can turn and encourage others as well. Suffering is not always easy to understand. Trials are not always easy to understand. For God is working out his perfect will, which we don't often understand, in and through our lives, which we often don't understand, to conform us into his very image. That we do understand. But we know that suffering produces character and perfects our character. So there is a purpose in suffering to make us into the image of Jesus. And number two, another purpose in suffering is to give us an avenue to minister to others. So first, it is to be a channel instead of a cistern. Secondly, it's to be an avenue to minister love and compassion and caring in the hands of Jesus. And finally, thirdly, suffering matures us by molding us into the very image of Jesus. Paul experienced trouble not as a punishment for something he had done, but as preparation for what was yet to come. Oftentimes, we think we've done something wrong, and there are times where we have storms of correction to get us back on track when we get off. But what I'm speaking of is, I'm speaking primarily to believers who are walking with the Lord and experience the normal trials and tribulations that this life brings. God doesn't allow those in our life to punish us, but he allows them in our life to prepare us for what is yet to come. Are you experiencing trouble, trials right now? Are you in pain and suffering? Have you experienced loss? Don't look at it as punishment or pain. Look at it as preparation. Choose to praise God in the midst. Make the choice to see it as the hand of God, the plan of God. And look for how he can use you in others' lives as he prepares you. It's a choice that we have to make, isn't it? Because we can choose that downward spiral, and we probably all have gone there before. It's a conscious decision that we must make. Choose to praise God. Choose to see the plan of God. Choose to see the preparation of God, and let God use you. Let God use the comfort that he has given you in the lives of someone else. And I tell you, if you let God use you like he used me, you will see things completely different. It brings a completely different perspective on your pain and your loss when you allow God to use you in the midst of your pain. It's a choice we have to make. Choose to praise God. Choose to yield his perfect plan. Choose to see it as preparation. And everything will change. Amen? Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, God, for ministering these words of comfort to us today, God. We do know that is your plan, that you allow it. You told us in your word that we will suffer tribulation. But be encouraged, you have overcome the world. Lord, I pray for any ladies that are experiencing hardship today, Lord, that are experiencing pain, Lord. I pray that they would fall upon the only one that could comfort them, God, you. And they would look for opportunities, God, to be used. Lord, we know that you are the only one that can comfort us, God. You are the only one that can wrap your loving arms around us when we are in time of need. God, would you do that for ladies today that need your arms, God, that need a warm hug from you, God? Would you let them feel your tangible closeness, comfort that you can offer through the power of the Holy Spirit? We love you and we praise you, God. We depend upon you. We need you so desperately. In Jesus' name, amen.